HT podcast episode of the 2020-21 season. It's me, it's Mike, always goofy looking as always, talking the hockey. Yeah, we're doing the first podcast. And before we hop into it with our guest, I just want to say that we're recording this on February 3rd at about 8 p.m. The news about the NWHL having to suspend the rest of their season literally a day before they're going to hit NBC Sports Network, which was going to be a monumental thing. I just want to say I'm gutted for everyone involved. I'm gutted for my friends who are in the league. I'll talk more about it later, but I just want everyone to know that I'm really bummed about it, and I was looking forward to covering the games. But more on that on another time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm being joined by Ms. Bobol Cartanbe. How you doing? I know it's early in the morning there for you.
Hey, how are you? Good. I'm doing all right, thank you. It's like 7 a.m. here.
Yeah, so like I said, it's 8 p.m. where I am, it's 7 a.m. where you're. So you're technically in Thursday already.
Yes, that's true.
So when I release this, it'll probably be like late Thursday night, early Friday morning then.
Yeah.
So... But real quick, first off, how have you been? How have you been dealing with this whole pandemic thing? Because obviously, you're currently in your home country of Kazakhstan. I'm here in the United States, right outside Washington, D.C. So what's it like for you? How has it been for you dealing with this pandemic right now?
So in March, I was stay in USA. Like until August, end of August. And in New Jersey, it was all right. But I mean, everything was shut down, all ice rinks and restaurants. And I can say the same thing, it's here. Like in Kazakhstan right now, like I cannot say everything shut down, but at least ice rinks is open and I can skate, gyms going open little by little, but everything's still in the not great situation.
How do you think things are over in Kazakhstan compared to over here in the United States? You mentioned that you're in New Jersey, but like, how would you compare the two differences between where you are now, where you were before?
You mean how? What's
how the pandemic? How the pandemic is being handled?
Well, I can tell that here, right, where I am right now in Kazakhstan, it's little loyal, I can say. Like people sometimes not wearing masks and people around not going scared. They are praying that it will over soon, you know.
Right.
And all my friends, athletes, they're really like, oh my god, when it will just stop this whole situation. And about government, it's like they are trying to make it harder. Like they're trying to shut down a couple stuff what we need, like I don't know, restaurants, clubs, but you know, people, they had it in March, so they are all right with everything right now.
Right. So we're gonna get off the pandemic because we just don't want to be a bearer of sadness, because that's all it's doing to us right now. Let's talk. Let's do what we normally do on this podcast. Let's talk the hockey. Obviously, being the first first female player from Kazakhstan to go pro in ice hockey. You've had kind of the interesting road to travel. Why don't you tell everyone? And I know we did the interview that was released on Christmas, but kind of like the too long didn't read version. Why don't you give everyone a quick little refresher about your hockey career so far?
Sure. Should I start from my high school when I started play hockey?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So from my childhood, I grew up in this little village where I didn't have any hockey. Like everything around, every sport around, it was only for men's. And I didn't have chance to try myself in different sport. And then we just moved to big city, and there was a sport school, like sport internet. And my parents decided that I can play there and study there, like in the seventh grade. And it was like 13 years, and I just started play hockey when I was like 13 years old. I started play for high school, and then my 18, I just made U18 Kazakhstan national team. Like I was 17 years old, 18 years old, and then I made a women's national team. And then I was, I had the break for 2 years because the national team told that they don't need us. Like there was five girls, we was young, and they said, we don't have right now time for you girls, but if you wanna, you can stay, but we don't wanna work with you. Let's go and do something else, you know? And it's Kazakhstan, you don't have really much choice. And was it all right? Someone just was go and had another job, but I think I was more lucky because I had girls who play rugby, you know, rugby.
Right.
Yeah. So and then I played for 2 years for rugby, and then in the capital city in Kazakhstan they opened it up. Female team for KHL team Boris, if you know, this is just one and first like KHL team in Kazakhstan. So they opened up the female team, and then they invited players who wanna play, and I was just drawing there. And after that I started like make a plan about playing in Canada or in USA. And it was, if be honest, really great way because I had enough motivation. I was work hard, and I think everyone know my issues with U.S. visas. That's why I went to Canada first. And GM from Canada, from Calgary Inferno, she was invited me like first time in Canada. So it was like really whole different world for me because Kazakhstan is a small country, but Canada in US is really like a huge country. So for me it was really, really different.
Not only that, but there must have been a huge culture shock coming from Kazakhstan to Canada as well.
Yeah, and this is like a different language, different people's different situations, so it was everything was new for me. And yeah, like finally, like I went to Minnesota after Canada for all summer, and I was work every day on ice and in gym, And then they had the tryouts for teams. Like I went for tryout for Minnesota Whitecap, and then I went for a tryout in a Buffalo for Buffalo Buttes. And then I was in connect with general manager Riveter's team. So I just did all this stuff because how you guys saying, like, don't put all your eggs in one bucket. Yeah. So I know this one, that's why I did all this stuff. And after all tryouts, I was waiting for 2 weeks. This 2 weeks was really like, feels like 5 years. I don't know, I was waiting like too much. And in Monday, August 16, I had like 2 phone calls, and I was surprised because it was like first phone call, it was from Buffalo Buttes, and the second phone call from Metropolitan Riveters.
Right. And so, of course, you would end up signing with the Riveters. What was it like to know that you're getting get that contract and get the opportunity to play in the National Women's Hockey League?
Well, it was, I don't know, did you read my article about Chase Your Dream? Bubble Carton by Chasing She's Dream or something like that?
I don't recall off the top of my head. The one that I have in front of me is the one that I did with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have that because, like I said, we're kind of rehashing a little bit, but also expanding at the same time.
Yeah. So, you know, I was really happy with that because nobody was believing me. Like, I mean, there's lots of people who support me, but especially in Kazakhstan, like, they're saying, hey, you woman, where are you going? You know, you playing such a tough sport and you want to do NWHL? You crazy. Something like that. And I was super happy and super excited because I just did it. And I tried myself with these girls on the tryout. And I got it that I'm not so bad, you know, because anyway, like Kazakhstan really, like, we're playing in the first division and US always like in the top division. And the last 3 years, they having only gold medals. This is like, I don't know. It means a lot for me.
You could say from a hockey experience on that one, it's another part of that culture shock to you. It's like, you know, you're going against athletes that are, you know, maybe big, maybe not necessarily bigger and stronger, but have more of that experience, more of that development that you didn't get to have back in Kazakhstan compared to over here in the United States and Canada.
Right.
So let's talk a little about the Riveters. You're with the Riveters. You played, I believe, 10 games with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then unfortunately you had your car accident that gave you a concussion and a few other injuries. Leading up to the car accident, you weren't playing a lot of minutes. What was going on in your mind during that time frame when you're trying to work yourself into the lineup more, the ability to get more playing time? What was going on in your mind at that time?
So I remember my first game when I was on ice, first official game we had with Boston Pride. I just, if be honest, first game, I don't remember because I was looking around and there was lots of fans and there was loud music, lots of girls, like my teammates, girls from Boston Pride. And I was like, I was just enjoying and I was still not believe that I'm here and I'm in team, you know. The next games, I remember, I mean, I tried to focus on game, but I can tell just one thing that since I signed with Riveters, I started grow on game really fast. Like every practice, every game, I was learning something. because, you know, we don't have in Kazakhstan such experience or such these players who can show their level. I can tell like that. So for me, it was really like something like I tried handle everything in a couple months, and girls who I've played, they played hockey for like 22 years, and like I played just 13 years, and it was, I don't know, it was something different for me.
Right. How would you compare, because you talk a little bit about it in the interview that we did that was came out back in around Christmas. How would you compare, rate your, or how would you say your relationship was with the head coach Ivo Mosik of the Riveters?
So this is actually a tough question because, you know, I'm that type of player who need always support, especially when I'm in different country and I don't have nobody around. I can tell that only general manager of the team, she was support me and she was always around. But about head coach, I think we didn't had enough connect, and he just didn't believe in me as a player. I can tell like that.
Right. What about some of your teammates? What was it like being in the locker room with them, especially with you? You know, you're essentially learning a whole new style of hockey. You know, you're learning the American Canadian style of game in the NWHL. How was it in the locker room with your teammates? How supportive are they were to you?
Well, girls pretty supportive, and they're always staying positive. Like even if we lose a game, they are still like, "Hey, everything's going all right." Like, "Hey, B, let's go, let's do it." You know, all this positive vibe. I really love it because sometimes, as a professional, when you or when you're playing for your national team, you need kind of mood, you know, that kind of mood. You need this positive, even like if game not going great, or if your game going great, it's like, I don't know, just locker room is giving really great mood with great music, with smile on face on my teammates, you know, something like this. And I love it, if be honest.
Right. So, and I'm looking at, you actually, and I'm going back to this part, when you joined the Riveters, you also had a lot of hurdles that you had to go through to make playing for them become a reality. And one of the things that you noted is that you morally felt a little lost, because you had to deal with the documentation, you didn't have a car, you didn't have money for a little bit. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? You know, and
sure,
talk about how you got from going from feeling lost morally to getting yourself out of that funk to where you are now. How, like, what was the biggest keys to help you get out of that?
I think first of all, like from September, I started learn everything, and when season started, I was like, you know, I was do it like I was with girls, but yeah, I didn't have like documentation. It was really like terrible. I didn't have car. I didn't have like extra practice because I was no. I needed. I'm not player who playing in that level, so for me it was really like something what I need first of all, you know, like extra practices. After, so everything was actually went all right, but after car accident, I had really like I was cut for half year, like 6 months, because it was really really bad head concussion. And I wasn't able to go to gym, and I wasn't able to go to ice or somewhere where lots of lights or somewhere where like loud music. It was terrible. And I think that's why I had this kind of depression. And the key is, I think, I started my rehab in end of May. I started little by little, you know, small, like light weights, running, something like this. And with my activity, and there was friends who supporting me, everything, you know, started all right for me. And then after my rehabilitation, I was get back to Turkey first and then to Kazakhstan. And I think this is was most what helped me, because I come back to my home country, and there's my family around me, my old teammates around me, my friends around me, like my old life was around me again. So it's actually gave me again my confidence, and I started ice practices here again, and now I'm feeling more better, and I just learned all this, how to say, life lessons, I can say like that. So that's it.
Yeah, and of course, right now you're currently with the PWHPA. I believe you said that you're part of the extended roster.
Yeah. So they had a tryout, but I didn't have chance to join because I was away, like I was out of country. So, but I'm staying in touch with general manager of New Hampshire team. But it will be big deal for me to sign for PWHPA when I'll get back in February.
Okay, so you are actually eyeing a February return to the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is February, so you're eyeing a this month return. So.
Yeah, that will be great because I'm waiting too long because of this pandemic. Every document is going slow, so
right.
I'm just waiting. But you know, I'm happy to be here because I have exciting news. I was the first Kazakh female professional athlete who was invited to for a Boris Live studio, like in KHL when you're staying and talking about hockey, about games. It's really big deal for us because we never had I don't know, that type of events, and nobody was invited girls for that type of event, right?
And to be able to be the first to do something like that, that's always a big deal too.
You know, like I feel like that we have to break this barrier between male and female in sport, because look, in USA, lots of NHL teams supporting PWHPA or NWHL, and they're inviting athletes like Kendall Coyne or Amanda Castle or I don't know, someone else. They're inviting and they're doing like some job, and it's really big deal for girls who young, and for our like next generation, you know. And when I went to this KHL, I had lots of feedback from women's, like from girls who living in Kazakhstan and who want to play hockey and who want to play any different sport. So that's why I'm trying to mention it, because it's a really like something like breaking barrier. Like nobody in KHL interested with Kazakhstan female hockey club, if be honest.
Yeah.
That's why.
But you gotta make them care, and you gotta break those barriers to make it happen. So.
Yeah.
But with that, what? I know you talked about this. You have a plan, and it's Kartanbay hockey support female athletes. Why don't you talk about that? Because this is how you want to help grow women's hockey.
Yeah. So you want me talk yeah. about
talk about how you want to talk about how you want to grow the game.
Oh, so if you're honest, there's lots of coaches who doing their job and they're doing great, but I found myself like as a, only as a team coach and mentor. So here in Kazakhstan, I met with two young girls who wanna play somewhere else, like they wanna play out of country, and I'm really working with them right now. And so I will try to help girls as a teacher, as a mentor, talk with them, give them confidence, make a plan, make their, you know, like that they can go step by step and they can don't have that issues what I had. Like, I want to help with all the stuff what I've learned on my way. So for the next players, for the younger player, it will be easier to, you know, connect with me and I can help handle all these issues. Because when you're entering US, you not only playing hockey, you have lots of life routine, you know. So I want to help them make it easier and also be around and support mentally. I mean, something like that.
Right. And well, do you I know that you've talked about and that you actually have your own brand. Explain your brand and how you're going to use it to help promote the women's game as well.
Okay. Oh, so can I add a little bit answer for like last question about how I can help?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I just
this is your interview. Okay. Go away, you know.
All right. So the thing is, in countries like mine, like in Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan or Asian countries, there are lots of people. They are really think that women have to sit at home and you know, do home stuff and that's it. Like they cannot play, they don't have choice, and this is really terrible stuff. Because when I was 23, I had the same issues. Like I had a boyfriend and we was always get married, and they told me, hey, you have to choose, you will play professional hockey or you will just be a wife and sit at home. You know, it was really shock for me because I wasn't ready for that. And I know not only I have these issues, like lots of girls around, especially in Asian countries, especially who has same culture as mine, they have the same issues. And my main goal, if be honest, it's give girls a confidence and tell them, hey, you girls have choice. Like, if be honest, you have to open your eyes and take a look, because it's your life and it's just one road, and you can choose what you can do, and you can have everything in your life. You can have family, you can play hockey, you can play other different sport, and you can have everything in your life. You know, when I went to Canada first time, I was full of different emotions, and in USA too, because I just was like, I shocked how people can combine everything in life, like especially women's hockey players. Because that's why I'm telling that it feels like whole different world, because she has kids, she has her job, like actual job, and she playing hockey. I was like, wow, look at that. She can do everything, you know, she can handle everything. If men play professional hockey and that's it, female player, I think they have, like, I don't know, they have time for family. They have to work on actual job because the salary is not great. And also she play professional hockey, which is really, really amazing, right?
Yeah. And it's like, we keep saying it a lot, but it's culture shock.
Right.
It's completely different from what you're used to compared to like what I'm used to over here, because it's like, I can tell you, you know, I played ice hockey for 12 years. I never went pro. I'm a horrible ice hockey player. I'm just happy to get on the ice and play whenever I'm allowed to again. But, you know, I always played co-ed. I always had female players on my team. So I always viewed them. I mean, this is me. I always viewed them as equal to me. You know, they can do all the same things I can do.
Right.
Because, because I just grew up with that. So
yeah, and I'm my mom, like, I was believed that I can do it too, but here in Kazakhstan I really didn't have choice. But when I went to these countries like Canada, US, like where's lots of hockey, I said, yes, I know, I was knowing they can't combine everything, you know.
So, and probably seeing that in that locker room too with like the Riveters, with some of the players that you got to play with, you know, seeing some of them with their jobs, their families and stuff like that, that had to be like a huge inspiration for you as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
all right. So but, about my brand, I think this brand should be for women or hockey fans, or I don't know. I mean, everyone can wear it. It just says that there's a woman's gender sign. You see? How can you see?
Yeah, and I actually have the logo in front of me right now.
Yeah, and there's like support female athletes. I just did it because, you know, when you don't talking about something, people don't know about it. But when you're starting talk about it, when you start to show people and support it and always do something, people starting to learn from you and they starting support you. And I think it will be great if my brand will be, will develop and will have more opportunities to grow. Right now, like, I started it in Kazakhstan, but I'm planning to get to US and we will see what we can do for it, because everything what I'm doing, brand or I don't know, my main goals, it's for women's athletes. And if in US we have little equal, like in other countries we don't have that much equal, I think that's why I'm doing and trying to develop brands in this way.
Right. Do you have a website for your brand or not? Or not yet?
Yeah, I have a cartonbuy.com.
okay. I'll make sure that everyone, for her brand, I am going to have a link right underneath the audio. Click it, go to it. You know what to do. Support. Help grow the game. You. Help support female athletes.
Right.
See how we do things? We get the word out and then we provide the ways for people to support.
Yeah, that's actually great. You be honest, I'm really thankful to you for your time, for your attention, and you guys doing great job, because right now with COVID situation, everyone sitting at home and reading something and sitting online, and you doing great job with that. You giving people something to read and inspiring them with your articles. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I will gladly take that, but I also have a really good team around me too, while socially distanced in our own homes. I do have a really good team that I work with, not just here on the hockey side, because everyone knows when you go on the website, I have my Twitch stream. I have other podcasts that are not hockey related. So I work with a lot of really good people that, you know, we enjoy doing the stuff that we do, and it's been keeping us sane.
Yeah.
So that's a key thing.
Great.
So real quick, since we're thanking people for coming on, where can the people find you on the social media so they can connect with you?
So I have a Instagram, it's called Carton Bay. Twitter, it's called the same. I don't know, they can just Google me. They can find every page what they need, if they're honest.
All right, so use the Googles, type in her name, and then you'll find her. Or we'll just put some links in the bottom, and you can just find her that way too. So, and then real quick, you can find me on Twitter at txht_hockey. I haven't had to say this in such a long time. The website, obviously, txhthockey.com, because you're here. Welcome. And I hope you're enjoying this podcast episode. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitch, where I do actually do a little bit of hockey on there. twitch.tv/themichaelx75. Please note, this entire podcast episode has been PG. We've been very good. We have not said one curse word. It's complete opposite on the Twitch stream, so just be warm there. So curse a lot. But with that said, and you're just laughing at this point internally, going like, oh, it's complete opposite what we just did. Interesting. But thank you so much for doing this, Bobo. I'm really glad that you got to do that. We actually got to speak and do the podcast this time, because what a lot of people don't know is that when we did the interview that came out on Christmas, that was about 2 to 3 months of emails going back and forth.
Yeah.
To do that. So it's really nice to just be able to sit down and actually have this conversation with you. And I hope we get to have this again, because this was a good learning experience. I hope not just myself, but everyone learned, because especially about like when you're learning about different cultures and stuff.
Right.
And the experience of going from one culture to another, especially when it comes to sports, that's something that, you know, more people should learn about. So I'm definitely grateful that you came on. And hope we get to do this again.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. And I'm glad to be one of your guests on your podcast. And everything what I'm doing, and it's because of my passion of hockey, and especially for women's hockey. And hopefully next time when we'll meet, I will be in part of PWHPA, and we will be able to play some hockey.
Yep. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, hopefully we will see you on the ice.